Sue didn't know she'd be helping out this morning. You even have a chair. And the most important thing is, you have a bunch of labels. And what you must do is you must follow along to this sermon. And where there is a label, you peel off the label. Okay. All right. This just got too hard for me at the other service, and so I called on my wife, but she's not here. So okay. I'm calling on you, and you're going to take that label, and you're going to put it on this lovely lady. Okay? Okay? Can you all see this? Sort of. Well, move over. No. Oh, we'll find out, I'm sure. But you will notice that this lady is from where you, come on, what's on the back? Showing God's love in practical ways. All right, very good. All right. The point we've been trying to get to the last few weeks, with the exception of last Sunday, is that none of us, believe it or not, are beyond hope. We may think so. We may think about the person next to us as being beyond hope, but none of us are really beyond hope. It doesn't matter what your past is or your baggage that you carry around. Not one of us is beyond God's reaching down and touching our lives and changing us. We are human, and at times we may want to step up and step out and look at our past and think, my goodness, I'm not worthy. I'm not qualified. But what do we do with that? That voice in our head, that label that's put on us that says, well, what do I do? I'm not worthy. I'm not qualified. Today we're going to wrap up a series, and I want you this morning to answer one question. It is a simple question, and I don't want you to overthink it. Who has the right to label something? Who has the right to label something? Don't overthink this. You put on a shirt today. That shirt has what on it? A label. Come on, button. All right. It has a label. Okay. Whose name is on the label? The maker. Very good. It's the manufacturer, the person who's made it. Now, why do they have the right to put on a label? Because they made it. Very good. You make it, you have the right to label it. Today, you can go into any restaurant in Carlisle. After the service or this evening, and you can go into that restaurant and you can say, okay, what's the nicest restaurant in Carlisle? Tell me. Mama Spriggs, okay. For today, that's going to be the best restaurant. You could go into Mama Springs and say, hey, I'm changing the name. They would laugh you right out the door. That's right. So if it makes any sense to you this morning, there isn't anything other than the manufacturer that can put a label on something. If you have a pet, how many of you have a dog or a cat or birds or snakes. Okay. You purchase that thing. You pay a price for that thing. We're going to keep you busy. Trust me, you're just sitting here right now. Okay. You purchase it, you take it home, and you name it. That's right. So you can manufacture something and put a label on it, or you can purchase something and put a label on it, right? All right. You wouldn't go into somebody's house, you wouldn't go into my house or anybody's house and say, oh, what a cute little puppy you got there. I'm going to rename it. I would like to introduce to you this lovely young lady. You should have seen her grabbing me when I put her in my car. This lady, this young lady was a little boring. So we decided to give her a little personality. And she didn't even know she was going to get a hat signed by Art Monk this morning. But then her life was radically changed by Jesus Christ. She really became a follower, a believer in Christ. Sorry, Randy. When you come up, you can make the jokes, okay? You know, when I was in college, that was before the internet age. And when I was in college, you could take your finals the last week of the semester, and many times you just want to get out of there and go home. And instead of the teachers posting the grades, you could actually call the school and put in your student ID, and they would give you your grades. So I would get on the phone, I would call, and I'd get this nice young lady's voice, probably like this young lady. And they would begin to go down. English, A minus. Psychology, B plus. Math. And I kid you not, a man's voice came on the line and said, failed. And I got a label on me. Failed. Not just F. Failed. And that kind of label can stick with you. And maybe you have been stuck by that label of failed in life, but maybe not. Maybe you've been stuck with another label like stupid because you failed math. And that stupid gets stuck on you. She's already struggling up here. So maybe you've had another label put on you like smart one. Or maybe yet another label like weak. And you get all these labels on you, and that's right, just put them one on top of the other because you're going to need to cover them up later. But I didn't tell you that. I should have. That was my fault. So you get this label of weak. And then maybe you don't get the label of weak or smart one. Maybe you get the label of needy. You are considered complicated. You are considered high maintenance. Maybe your label's fat. I'm getting there. Maybe your label is skinny. Or maybe you're not labeled by how you look as much as by your personality. You might be labeled the loud one. You know, always trying to kind of over-listen to what other people have to say and give your opinion. And you get known as the loud one. Or maybe you're on just the opposite edge and you're the quiet one. Or the too sensitive one, too emotional. You just got to get over things. How are we staying here, all right? Good, all right. I don't know what your label is, but you know what? I know all of us have at least one and probably several labels in our lives that we carry with us. Sometimes it's because of a decision or an action that we initiated, and sometimes other people give us those labels, and they stick to us. We didn't choose it, but we know, all of us know what it's like to carry some labels in our lives. But maybe the most important question to ask this morning is not the question of who has the right to label something. Maybe the most important question is who has the right to label you? To give you a label, to speak into your life, and how you answer that question is critical, because how you answer that question determines the kind of life that you live. See, there comes a point when the longer you live with those labels that have been given to you, the more likely you are to begin to believe them, and the less likely they describe your past as much as they discover your future. They start to determine the trajectory of our future, whether it's going up or it's going down. They alter the decisions that we make about the future. We see labels like failure because we've carried that label. We've begun to believe it. And we stop trying new things because we're going to fail. There you go. We got one that's following along this morning. All right. You know, we believe we're a failure, so we stop trying new things because we have failed. Oh, good. You're with me. Great. All right. You stop risking and stop going after things, and your future is altered. And some of you have been labeled unwanted. And because of it, you've pulled away from intimacy with other people. And because of that future or that label, your future has changed. You pulled away. You've made decisions because you're viewed as unwanted. And because of that, not only do you stop pursuing future opportunities, but you begin to pursue things in the wrong ways. Maybe you've been called unloved, and that label has gotten put on you. And because of it, you've made choices, and you'll make choices in the future to pursue love in the wrong ways, ways that are destructive. Others of you maybe have been given labels like loud. You got to speak into it so people hear you. And others of you are just plain bossy. There should be a label for just plain bossy. Oh, then I guess we forgot that one. Okay. And because your voice at times, you've chosen to silence your voice, your future has been altered. You see, labels lock us in and lock opportunities out. They make us feel unworthy. They make us feel unworthy. That gives me hope, though, because every time I open the Bible Every time I look at the men and women of Scripture, the heroes of the faith, I realize that they wrestled with labels too. From the very beginning of the book of Genesis to the very end of the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, the story is filled with people. All of them had labels. And one particular person of whom this is true is the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah has this encounter with God, and it's almost as if, as he records in Jeremiah, he's writing a journal about what he's thinking and what he's feeling, and we get to read that journal. We get to read it. It says, "The Lord gave me this message. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations." God comes to him and is saying, "Jeremiah, wake up. I'm calling you. I'm telling you, there is a greater life out there than the life that you are living right now. There's something more for your life than just sitting on the sidelines. But before you take your first step, Jeremiah, I want to tell you, I know, I've known you, I've made you, I formed you, I stitched you together in your mother's womb, and I perfectly designed you for the invitation I am about to give you. I want you to know that before you take one more. Now, come follow me, Jeremiah. Come on." And Jeremiah's response is probably like your response. No, it's like my response. He said, "Oh, sovereign Lord, I can't speak for you. I'm too young." In other words, what he is saying there is, "Don't you know my labels, God? I'm inexperienced." Okay. It's probably in my car. "I'm inexperienced. I'm too young. God, you got the wrong guy. Maybe you better go out and look for somebody else. Too young. Too inexperienced." Eugene Peters wrote a book about 15 years ago now called Run with the Horses. And in it he writes, "We are practiced," which means we have mastered the part of pleading inadequacy in order to avoid living at the best that God has called us to. We throw up our hands and we say, "Oh God, I'm too young. Oh God, I'm too weak. Oh God, I'm too inexperienced." Or, "Oh God, I'm too old." At the same time, God is inviting us into a grander story. And yet through all of it, we plead inadequacy because we know our labels. And we carry them around with us. And Jeremiah, at this moment, as we look into his journal, he's at an intersection. Does he allow the labels he's been given to keep him from the future that God is inviting him to? Do you realize the book of Jeremiah could have been the shortest book of the Bible? It all depended on God's response and Jeremiah's response. God could have said, "Oh, you're right, Jeremiah. You're too young. You're inexperienced. My bad. I'll go find somebody else." And then we would read, "This concludes the book of Jeremiah." But that isn't what happened. The Lord replied to him, "Don't say I'm too young. hey, Jeremiah, back up the truck here. Did you think that I didn't know your age? I didn't know your labels or your past failures? Buddy, I formed you. For you must go wherever I send you and say whatever I tell you. And don't be afraid of the people, for I will be with and I will protect. I, the Lord, have. God is saying, don't worry about the people. They will see your labels. They may even put more labels on you. In fact, if we go to my car, I can get those labels and we can put them on her, all right? But Jeremiah, they're going to see those labels. They're going to give you more labels. They're going to know your fears and your flaws. But Jeremiah, Jeremiah, who has the right to label you? Right. God drills down to the heart of the issue. He says, don't be afraid, Jeremiah. It is what labels do to us, though, right? They turn up fear. We get afraid, and these labels are, we sometimes think, oh, you know, I'm a self-fulfilling prophecy. These labels are true. And anytime fear raises its head, we have one of two responses. We can pretend or we can prove. Simply put, we can pretend, we can fake it. You pretend to know more than you do because you don't want to look ignorant. You don't want the label of ignorant to stick. You pretend you have it all together because you don't want the word weak to stick the label. You pretend to care when you don't, and you do not care when you do. All because we are afraid, what if people see the real us? Others of us spend so much time and energy, this is the proof part, we spend so much time and energy thinking to ourselves, I got to show them that that's not what I am. Some of us have spent lifetimes trying to prove our parents wrong because of the labels they gave us. Some of you have been given labels and you just want to prove your critics wrong, but you will hang on to the one critical thing and miss the whole list of positive things that they say. And what you are doing in the process is you're handing over your happiness to another person's control. And it is exhausting to live that way. But God speaks to this. He says, Jeremiah, and I think this is the key for moving forward here, Jeremiah, and for all of us. He says, don't you worry about the labels of the past. For see, today, I have made you strong over all of it. There you go. And then the next one I'm going to put right here. And then, Jeremiah, I have made you strong. Like a fortified city that cannot be captured, like an iron pillar, like a bronze wall. Jeremiah, you are strong. And what I love about this is that God doesn't make Jeremiah older. He just makes him stronger. In other words, the way God addressed Jeremiah's sense of inadequacy was not to step back and go, bippity boppity boop. You're older now. He doesn't magically fix us. He uses the things that we think make us unworthy or unqualified. And he reveals greater things in us because of what he's done. You see, where you see and experience, God sees energy. Where you see failure, God sees a story that allows you to connect with somebody else who's going through the same thing. And it may be part of you, there may be a part of you that God wants to use. Because he knows not only will it make you stronger, but it will help somebody else through their struggle and make them stronger as well. He didn't let the labels define us. He says, I will define you. He goes on, you will stand against the whole land, the kings and the officials, the priests and the people of Judah. And they'll fight you, but they will fail. For I am with you and I will take care of you. Jeremiah, they'll fight you and fail because I have labeled you victorious. I am with you. Jeremiah, you are chosen. That's who you are. I'll take care of you because you are loved. That is who you are. And God ends this incredibly powerful speaking into Jeremiah's heart by making this declaration, I, the Lord, have spoken. It is done. I speak the final word over you, Jeremiah. It's a declaration. No matter what you feel, I have spoken. And Jeremiah has the choice that every one of us has here today. The choice is, which voice do we listen to? Which labels will we accept? The labels of man or the label of Almighty God? We're not bound by our past. What we got to look forward to is our future. 600 years after the book of Jeremiah, the followers of Jesus took this whole understanding to a different level. They saw what God could do in Christ Jesus. And later Paul would write, even before he made the world, God loved us. And he chose us in Christ to be holy without fault in his eyes. You were made in the image of you were created by God. You were stitched together. You were designed for the very calling that he's calling you to. Even before the world began, he loved you and he chose you in Christ. And in later verses in Ephesians, he writes, he is so rich in grace and kindness that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. So who has the right to label us? Our teachers, our parents, our coaches, our friends, our pastor? No. Only one can label us. You have nothing to prove because you're already accepted. You are a child of God, and Christ has done it for you. Let me get you just to look up here for 1 minute. How would your life change? How would the lives of the people around you change? How different would your life look if we refused all the labels that others want to give us and accept only the labels of our Heavenly Father? How much courage and conviction, how much more of that would you live with if you allowed the voice of your Heavenly Father? To speak into your life and to tell you, I love you and I've chosen you to do great things for me. Let's pray. Lord, you take the inadequacies of our lives. And it, Lord, you take our little and your lot and you put it together, and somehow, Lord, it turns out far more than we could ever ask or imagine or believe. So, Lord, the challenge for each of us this morning is, will we take the time? Will we say, Lord, I'm not going to believe what the labels are that I put on myself or others put on me. But Lord, I'm going to believe you. And I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to follow your plan and your path for my life. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Didn't she do a super job this morning? There you go.